If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Working in collaboration with others takes skill and attention. Often it will include changing our mindset. It's helpful to learn how to read the energetic clues, both in yourself and others. This can apply to working with teams of people or being in a committed relationship. Today we'll be exploring the perils and pitfalls of partnering, as well as how to improve our skills to help those partnerships thrive, with our guests, Kathy and Gary Hawk. Kathy Hawk is founding director, and Gary Hawk is managing director of Get Clarity International. They are co-authors of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. Join us for the next hour as we explore many playful and effective ways to be with one another with our guests, Kathy and Gary Hawk. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Kathy, Gary, welcome.
Oh, we're happy to be here.
Yes, Justine. So good to be here. Thank you.
It's my pleasure to be sitting down with you once more. And this time, we are going to be talking about mostly about partnerships. So many people are finding themselves working in relationship with others for various reasons, teams of people, even where we live, we might have groups of people that get together. And how do we do that really effectively? Because we're going to have to do this more and more, I believe, in these times. If we could begin by talking about how you, the two of you, actually wrote this newest book in partnership with another person. So if you could describe, what was that process?
Well, I'll start that one because when I was meditating, and this is 3 years ago now, when I was in meditation, I kept getting the message that this country, people don't know how to partner well. And so the message was, write a book about how to partner and give people some thought choices, how to set their mind when they're working with other people. And so that's what started the book. And that's why we made it Powerful Partnering, like a verb, like an action, instead of partners, like more like a noun. But because we're partnering all the time, we're partnering with our intimate partners, our business partners, our children. Like you were saying, Justine, like we're in an HOA now. I mean, my gosh.
Which is a homeowners
association. And you better figure out in that how to get along with other people in a way that honors everybody's different perspectives. So that was what started the process. And because it's about partnering, Gary and I thought to ourselves, well, the book should be in integrity. We should model what our message is by inviting in another author to partner with us. And that's what we did. We invited in Teresa Byrne, and she's a well-known martial artist and wrote a lot of the parts of our book about how to hold your own boundaries in partnership, what to say yes to and what to say no to.
Yeah, she brought a different perspective. And one of the ways, because sometimes when partners work together, not both of them may not have the same level of excitement or interest about the writing. And I believe Kathy's vision that partnering really needs to be written about. But I found myself not being able to write this as quickly as I wanted to, or to have it come to me as quickly as I wanted to. And there was a few months in there where it kind of got drug out because I wasn't writing. That's when I stepped back and I said, let's bring someone else in. And that's kind of how the dialogue started. Instead of just Kathy and I writing it, this is partnering. One of the partners is not as focused on it as the other. Well, then let's get someone in that is. And that's what happened, because Teresa came in and lit a fire under both of us, and it happened like this.
So there was a symbiosis in some way that she brought in. But there are also some challenges when you're working with the two of you are partners in life, mm-hmm. and in work. And then you bring in another person, and then that changes the dynamic. So can you describe a little bit about how that changes and how you have to accommodate it?
Well, yes, I can, because it was one of the biggest challenges, and your listeners will know that. Whenever you bring in other people, I would say it gets a little messy, and you have to have a system to communicate that helps that clear up. And that's what we ended up doing, is we created a different feedback system so that we would always be in contact with each other on the changes. And did we miss some? Sure we did. Yes, of course. And the good news is because we respect each other and support one another in the vision, we were able to go right on past that and get it with a lot more ease than I thought. Maybe there were times when I thought it wasn't going to be really easy, but we did. We got it.
Actually, we followed the operating system that's written in the book. Our co-author Teresa operates on the same level we do on the operating system, and making sure that she's participating, what we call above the line and positive. And that's how we did it. So we followed our operating system and bringing in a collaborator. You know, Kathy and I live it that way every day. So bringing in a third collaborator, we brought in someone that also had experience in keeping her energy positive and effective and monitoring and sustaining her own thoughts.
So Gary, you brought up something, you used the term above the line, and some of our listeners may not know what you mean by above the line, because this is a basic principle of your entire work. So say something about that.
Well, we have a graphic that gives direction to people with positive thoughts. So there's positive thoughts, and then there's a transition line that we call the line. And actually in color, we colored it gray because it's foggy when you're not sure where you're going. And then we have the opposite, which we call under the line, which would be the negative thoughts. So when we say above the line, it says that we have focused our attention on thought patterns, mindsets that have been scientifically measured to be more positive, to have a higher frequency wavelength, actually. And so when Gary and I started to working with Teresa, the grounding action in partnership is on the above the line is called support. And its opposite is greed. And that pair of words, so greed would say, I'm going to withhold my energy from the partnership, whether I withhold sex or money or thoughts or creativity. But a support field says there's room in it for every lights on vision, for every energized vision. And so although they were different, and in all partnerships, they are going to be different. Yes. That's what makes it creative.
So let me just go through, just to give our listeners, we're talking about these individual above the line and below the mm-hmm. line. I just want to say a few words about
sure.
that. So you would list like effortlessness, high noticing, authenticity, enthusiasm, dedication, excitement, trust, courage, and celebration, and gratitude, and curiosity. Those are all above the line. Now, below the line are when you are in fear or denial or exhaustion, mm-hmm. noticing your exhaustion, anxiety, defiance, just like, oh, I'm just not going to do this. Then you use self-importance. That's a good one that, you know, you think you're the only one. And habituation and overdoing. That's a big one in our society. So these are some of the below the line, just to give people a feeling that when you encourage people to go into that high noticing and self-checking all the time, here's where I am. In fact, you have a daily practice that you encourage people to do. Can you say something about that?
Well, we call it the daily check-in. And Kathy and I do it individually. We do it together. And it's just a series of five questions that we have to answer them from an above the line or effective perspective. The first question is, what's different? It's not a big question, but I want to live a life of distinction and discernment. So I don't want somebody to ask me, how's your day? And I go, same old, same old. I want to be able to say everything's different. Like today, it's cloudy outside as we're talking. That's that one. And then we have two other questions is, what works in my performance and what didn't work in my performance in the last period of time? Because I want to study my performance. I want to be making sure that I'm paying attention to what did work and what wasn't as effective as I wanted it to be. And then we ask, what are we grateful for? Because that brings in some of the highest energy there is, the state of our mind, the state of our body, and the state of our spirit. We look through our whole system in this moment to scan the system to see where we are. And then we set our intention for the day. And that's the check-in. And it just grounds you. And it can be done in moments or it can take a half hour.
And we encourage people to check in themselves on their own, even if they don't have a partner or a team. As Gary was talking, you could see that what's different makes your mind go to high noticing. So it's a very positive versus habituation. When you ask your intention is, then you're positively saying that you're going to focus on intention. When you're grateful, you're focusing that way. So we call that positivity. And in all of our teamwork and partnerships, we always do the check-in first, because we say positivity comes before productivity. So instead of going right to work and pounding it out and, you know, doing all the tasks that are required, we always set the field. We call that an energy field, and we set it positively.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Kathy and Gary Hawk. They are the she's the founding director of Get Clarity, and Gary is managing director. And they are the co-authors with Teresa Byrne of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. To know more about their work, you can go to their website, getclarity.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Kathy and Gary Hawk, and they are partners in Get Clarity and co-authors with Teresa Byrne of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. First of all, I would like to say that the two of you have been working together in your work for 14 years. So in many ways, I know that you have gotten lots of feedback from different people, including myself, that I've gone through your program. I'll say that it is, you model a kind of partnering. And why is that important?
Well, I don't think we're even conscious of that, frankly. I mean, we've heard it, but it's just the way we do life. We have this belief that I'm responsible for my own energy. Kathy's not responsible to light me up. I am. And when I take on that responsibility, then I'm responsible to sustain and change and monitor my own thinking so that I'm effective. And then I also need to create space for Kathy to have that same thing so I don't interfere with her ability to be lights on. Now, for us, that's just kind of a natural flow through our day. It's not even conscious anymore.
I'm just reminded of that people go look for partnerships and they'll say, oh, you complete me. You know what I'm saying? So where is that not quite what you two are going for?
Well, let me say that our co-author, Teresa Byrne, wrote about that. That was one of the things that she's noticed in her boundary setting work, is that people would say that, will you complete me? And to us, that's a red flag. So if you're not whole yourself and know how to handle your own self, as Gary said, then having somebody else complete you is a very faulty operating system. So you want to...
Is that a bottomless well?
Yes, it is. That's a good way to say it. It's like one, like good partnership is synergy. It's one and one makes three. And it's bigger than both partners and the effect they have in the world. And that's why synergy is above the line in our structure here, because and its dark side, the opposite, is egotism. So it's very, very different when in our model, and what people see in us is Gary and I share a vision of respect for each other, support for our individual visions. And in that just shows that there's no judgment. He's different. I love Gary's differences. I've always said if there were two of me,
that would be boring.
So, you know, and the same with all the people we partner with. I love their perspective. It enriches me.
So you find when Teresa came on the team that the two of you adding this third person really enhanced something, even though it might not be easy, mm-hmm. especially in the first part of it, to integrate. All right, let's talk about integrating vision here, because that's the first maybe step, is that you have to talk about a similar vision. Mm-hmm.
We sit down with Teresa too, and spent some time. What is my personal vision for this book, and what I want, and then what is Kathy's personal vision for this book, and then what is Teresa's, and so. It's just like when we do partnership coaching and we have partners come in for retreat, we're interviewing both of them to describe what their ideal partnership is. And so we're creating that energy of what's your ideal partnership? And then for some, it may be some different things, but then we put the common pieces together and that becomes the shared vision. So that's what we focus on. In partnership, in any, when I've done teamwork, we've gone in to help business partners, it's still, what's that shared vision we want to focus on?
So tell me, if you run into difficulties, do you go back to that and say, okay, let's go back to square one? Are we still on the same vision? Is that what you do?
Yes. And so we think of it as fields. So we have your field, my field, and the shared field. And so that's what, as Gary was saying, so although the my field and the other person's field and it may have differences in it, we pick the common areas and put that into the shared vision. We call that the third place. And in the third place, the shared vision is what we always reference back to. It is our North Star. It is where we go when differences pop up, which they will. I mean, my goodness.
So it might be important to write that down so you have it, maybe that visual of having it right there and say, all right, this is what we agreed to several weeks ago or several months ago. Is this still the same? And then you go through that process again?
Yes.
Yeah, we do it actually with the vision maps. I mean, we do write some things, but in reality, we turn it into a visual. And when we have partners come in, we have them turn it into a shared vision. We make them sit down at a table and draw their shared vision together off the notes where they had those things in common. And even that process has them having to give and take in that into that system. But then we, you know, Kathy and I have, I don't know, three or four around our home of shared visions we've created. You know, we had a shared vision for what this year was going to be. We had a shared vision about 8 or 9 years ago. We did a, or 10 years ago, we did a 20-year aging gracefully vision. Well, that's a big, beautiful piece of art in our house. And we look at it often and we're on that track.
And when you do that vision board, it's not just words that you put down, your little pictures, little graphics of people and colors. And and so it really becomes very, very vivid. It comes very, very vivid.
It's a beautiful piece of art that has meaning.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And the fun part when people partner together to draw their map, you can just see them put their heads together on it. And they'll say, well, I don't know, you're the better artist. I don't know, but you like color. So I'll do the outline and you do the color. And we'll put in the, you know, and all of a sudden, you see them working collaboratively.
You know, I'm just reminded right now in my life, I'm working with a new team of people. It's where I live. And it's a very diverse senior housing. And we have an issue that we're working on together. And so we're forming a coalition of the whole property. And so there's a steering committee that we've formed to begin to just start the process. So there are five of us. And we're very diverse. We come from different backgrounds. And not all of us have come through Get Clarity, but different skills are available. And I'm finding, oh, gosh, this process is difficult. It's not easy to come to a real collaboration because things just come up. And I think it's time for us to go back. I'm just reminded, oh, go back. And maybe us do a vision board and say, what are we really seeing this group and what do we see for the future? What is our intention?
That is the work right there, because I've worked on teams before, pretty high level team before, that we all had a vision for what we wanted this organization to do. But the guy that was in charge of marketing, he didn't like me and I didn't like him. And I didn't like the way he acted. I didn't like any of that. But I had incredible respect for his skill set to help us achieve that shared vision. So I know he didn't like me either, but it never came up because all we focused on was going to that shared vision. So we worked very well together. We didn't go out and have dinner and party after work because we didn't like each other. But boy, we worked well when we were together because we had a common vision.
That is so good because those personalities are going to have clashes. And I can feel that in this small group of the five of us. I can feel that. And this just bypasses all of that. It just takes you back to your intention.
Yeah, every time I would react to maybe one of his idiosyncrasies, where in the past I might have gotten angry. It just ignored it because it had nothing to do with us sitting in the meeting and creating that shared vision.
So you were going for effectiveness.
Yep.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why that second question and the check-in, what worked, what didn't, is in high-performing partnerships, teams, and people, they aim and focus on what's working instead of what isn't working. And it's so interesting in our culture, so much of conversation is about, well, that's not good, or it doesn't. It's the what not instead of the what if. And so the focus in a shared vision, and like going back to your group, Justine, for each person to put one thing in that shared field that really lights them up for this project. So that would be that. And then you'll end up with a focus, something to focus on. And with diversity, it's so easy to focus on the differences and the and powerful partnering as a verb, as an action, as how you do life. The way to do it is focus on what's common, what works.
So I'm just reminded of something that I picked up in your book and other people are talking about. Your thoughts create your reality. So if you're always focusing on what's not working, then that's what you're focusing on.
Right. And that's how people all the time say, how did we end up getting everything we didn't want? And I'm like, hello, stop. You know, the old in grade school, stop, drop, and roll. Okay, stop. Whatever you focus on, so if you're focusing, that's why you're getting everything you don't want. So we use a metaphor for creative thought that life is like a movie and you are writing the script. That's how we do it. So we say there's the director, just like all performances. The director is your mind, your mindset, your thoughts. In our structure, we use the positive thought system. They're, you know, just as long as the thought's positive. That's step one. With 125 thousandths of a second or less, your body will produce either an adrenalized reaction or an endorphin reaction. So lights off or lights on.
So adrenal would
be negative, fear-based, what I don't want.
Anxiety.
Flight, freeze.
You feel it in your gut that, the fear.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one
the
is...
The other, your endorphin system, which is serotonin, oxytocin, your natural chemicals to be happy. So your body will produce by your direction. And that's the key thing. It's like the childhood game, you know, of Simon Says. Same thing. Your body will follow your mind exactly. So that's why mindset is first. So you've got that director, the producer of your body, the performance is the outcome.
I'm here with Kathy and Gary Hawk. They're partners in Get Clarity, and they are co-authors with Teresa Byrne of Get Clarity for Powerful Partnering, From Power Struggles to Co-Creative Adventures. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts.